Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Golf Zone Range by David Ledbetter, with the latest golf technology in Little Ferry, New Jersey, and now in Westbury, Long Island. Learn golf faster. Visit www.golfzonerange, that's golf, Z-O-N, range.com. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality, experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. And if you are a regular listener to this show, you know I try to cover all aspects of the game of golf. There are so many fascinating personalities to connect with, and an endless array of subjects pertaining to the sport we love. And so far this season, I've dedicated a few segments to caddies, a most important sector of the game. In fact, in our very first show this season from Augusta National, I visited with Hall of Fame caddy Joe LaCava and was engrossed with the nuances of his description of caddying for Tiger Woods at the Masters when Tiger won his fifth green jacket in 2019. Well, in this segment, we say hello to Ward Clayton. No, he is not a caddy. He is a former sports editor of the Augusta Chronicle, former director of editorial services for the PGA Tour, has an incredible resume, but we're going to talk about his new book, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National, Inside Stories from Golf's Greatest Stage. Hey, Ward.
And good to hear from you. Before we get started, your listeners probably notice I've got a Southern accent. So we need to tell people how to speak Augustan before we get started here. So I always tell people that if you say the word tuna and you say the word mint and you put them together, that's the Masters tuna mint. So that's the way people say it in the South. So you probably got pretty used to that here a few weeks ago. So that's the way the Southerners in Georgia say tournament.
That's very clever. And, you know, yes, and I heard you speak enough because you sit in Augusta National in the media center right in front of me as you captain the Masters.com coverage, which is wonderful. But let's talk about your book. Now, I know this book is a second edition to your original book on this subject, which was titled Men on the Bag, The Caddies of Augusta. So what made you take a deeper dive into this subject, Ward?
I wrote the first one 20 years ago, Anne, and I don't think anybody had done the research on all these caddies. They were known by their nicknames. And so I wanted to basically tell who these people were by their given names, what their background was, et cetera. And that was rewarding in being able to tell their story. But over 20 years' time, book went out of print. There was a documentary that came out 5 years ago called Loopers, The Caddy's Long Walk, which Bill Murray was a narrator. We were able to tell the story of caddies at St. Andrews, Augusta, Pebble Beach, the Evans Scholars Program, things like that. And I think it went over really well. But there was a lot of updating and a lot of additional information that needed to be told about the Augusta caddies. Not only, you know, what happened to Carl Jackson, what happened to Willie Peterson, et cetera, like that, but everybody, and also give an indication of some of the barriers these men had to go through just to get to their workplace and where they hailed from. There's a little neighborhood next to it called Sand Hills, next to Augusta National, where a lot of these guys grew up and they could walk to work. So I wanted to tell the story a little bit more in depth about how they got to where they were and how they sort of formed this bond and became these great caddies. And a lot of them were caddies for people that you wrote about in your book. And so I think it really, you know, your subject matter and my subject matter are similar. You've got these great players from golf giving wisdom out, but they also had somebody in their ear generally giving them some wisdom. So
that's a great point.
Cool.
I mean, One of the most famous player caddy relationships was Ben Crenshaw. And you mentioned Carl Jackson, and, you know, Carl Jackson holds a record for the most appearances, 54 of being a caddy at the Masters. And he caddied for Ben Crenshaw 39 times, including the two Masters titles that Ben won in 1984 and 1995. And in my book, as you mentioned, thanks for the plug, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. You know, Ben He talked a lot about Carl Jackson and saying he could not have won without Carl Jackson. I mean, Carl knew every inch of those greens at Augusta National, as you know, Ward. And how did they connect? How did Ben connect with Carl?
A member at Augusta who's from Texas connected the two of them. Crenshaw and his caddy didn't see eye to eye. So in 1976, Jack Stevens also was the chairman at Augusta National, and Carl caddied for him at the club and also worked for his corporation in Arkansas. So they suggested to Ben that this would be a great guy for to work with you. And if you've ever met Carl, which I'm sure you have, Ann, he's this huge guy, but he's very soft-spoken. You would be intimidated to run into him. He's about 6'4", 225 pounds. You would think he could belt you around a little bit, but he's very soft-spoken. So that worked out well with Ben because they had a similar kind of personality. You know, Ben's nickname, of course, is Gentle Ben. And that was the same kind of situation that Carl's in. Carl's the same personality. And they'll both tell you they're not caddy and boss. They're friends first. So it's really a unique relationship among players and caddies for those two.
Well, you know, Ben Crenshaw, his chapter in my book is called Treat People Well and Let Destiny Guide You. And he really talks about the fact that his connection with Carl is really all part of that, the fact that he feels like he's had such good fate and fortune through the years. I mean, he really was so appreciative that he met Carl. Which is great. I mean, I have not talked to Carl in a long time. What's the latest with Carl Jackson?
Carl is now 77. This year at the Masters on Monday night, there was a special private preview of a documentary that's coming out called Rise Above. And it's about Carl's story of growing up in poverty in Augusta with eight brothers and sisters and how he quit school at age 12 to go caddy. He had six children, all of them are college graduates, all of them are doing quite well. He had a lifelong relationship with the Stevens family. Warren Stevens, who's now a member at Augusta National, his dad, Jack Stevens, is no longer with us. But Warren Stevens attended this showing along with some members of Augusta National. Ben Crenshaw was there with a lot of his people from Texas. So they were there in humongous support for this project, which was really well done. It was very emotional, told the story of where he came from, how he overcame a lot of barriers, and told the story that I hadn't heard a whole lot about was the fact that Carl was the first caddy to ever play at Augusta National. Jack Stevens got him to go play with him at Augusta National. Just didn't ask anybody, he just did it. So pretty cool relationship that Jack Stevens had, and also Ben Crenshaw.
Well, you wrote about stovepipe, burnt biscuits, skillet, skinny, marble eye. And as you said, these caddies worked for presidents of the United States, captains of industry, the greatest golfers in the world. How did they all, I'm sure they all had their own individual stories, but how did they first get connected to Augusta National? Did they just show up or how did they become caddies over there?
A chapter I added, Ann, is on Sandhills. Sandhills, if anybody's familiar with Augusta National, it's adjacent to Augusta Country Club. And there's these historic cemeteries, and Walton Way has these humongous old 100-year-old homes. And there's a neighborhood right in the center of it, which is a black neighborhood called Sandhills. A lot of these kids, probably like a lot of American kids, you know, when you're 12 years old or something, you want to go make some money doing something. Not a lot, but you know, they could walk to Augusta Country Club and caddy. And then once they refined their skills, they sort of graduated across Race Creek to Augusta National. Carl tells a story about being able to walk around the periphery of Augusta Country Club, going through a cemetery and coming in a hole in the fence behind the 13th tee at Augusta National to go caddy. I don't think there's any holes in any fences there anymore,
I would
but
think not.
Years ago, that was the route that they took to get over there, and they were smart enough to realize if they made a relationship with a member there, who knows what kind of benefits that could happen. Same way with great players like Carl and Ben. So they developed this skill set, which the players relied on in order to learn how to read greens, how to do yardage. And the best thing these guys had, in my estimation, is they could read people like that. When they're on the first tee, if Ann Liguori is on the first tee and Carl Jackson's caddying for you, he can read that you're nervous. He's going to come up and tell you a joke and make you a little bit more at ease. They really understood how to interact with people. I think that was their greatest skill.
Sure. I mean, they obviously read the greens incredibly well, but they have to be sports psychologists and as you say, have just good instincts about people, right? Well, you know, the first time I played Augusta National, and I'm humbled to be able to say this, it was the late 90s, and I had one of these famous Augusta caddies, and I'm embarrassed, Ward, that I don't remember the caddy's name, but I do remember just how incredible the experience was. You know, the course, the peacefulness, the scenic beauty, the challenge, and how great this caddy. He was just so lovely to me. And I'll never forget on the par three 12th, talk about an iconic hole, the most iconic hole. My tee shot landed pin high, rolled into the bunker behind the green, and my caddy went over on the other side of the green in front of Ray's Creek, squatted down in like a baseball catcher's position. And put his hands up, pretending like he was holding a baseball mitt. And I proceeded to hit the ball from the bunker across the green right into his hands.
He knew
So
what
it
you,
was
he could
perfect.
re, he knew what you were going to do already. That's
He
good.
did. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. Of course, he saved the ball from going into Ray's Creek. I wish I remembered his name. I'm just so upset. Now, the second time I played Augusta National, my caddy was younger and told me great stories about caddying for Phil Mickelson, and of course, you know how Phil did a lot of waging on the game. No surprise there. And then the third time I played Augusta National was in 2017, and my caddy was very, very young. And I must say, not anywhere near as good as the first one I had all those years ago. So maybe talk a little bit about how the caddy culture has changed through the years at Augusta National.
Well, in the late 90s, about the time that you played there, the caddy corps at Augusta National was run by a group called Caddy Master Enterprises. And Caddy Master's based in Northeast Florida, but they do Augusta National, Pebble Beach, Pinehurst, which is where the US Open is going to be this summer. And so they do a lot of the great clubs around the world. So they bring in caddies from all over the world, all over the nation, not just local kids to caddy there. So that's changed the dynamic a lot, but there's still indications that the Augusta caddy heritage exists. And this year at the Masters, there's a perfect example. Ian Finnis, who caddies for Tommy Fleetwood, who just revealed earlier this week he had open heart surgery. So he was unable to caddy at Augusta. So there's a veteran caddy at Augusta named Gray, Gray Moore, who caddied for him at Augusta. And Tommy finished tied for third, which was the best finish he's ever had. And lo and behold, you figure out that every year Tommy came to the Masters weeks before, Gray Moore was caddying for him. Augusta National's process is if you can't bring your caddy to caddy the weeks before the Masters, you have to use an Augusta caddy. So Ian would come and walk around the course with him, and Gray would caddy and say, "Look, this has changed here. This has changed here." It was almost like a scouting mission. And so Tommy felt very comfortable with the fact that Gray Moore could guide him around the golf course. 70-year-old guy had his best week ever at Augusta. That was really, really cool. Same deal applies to Ted Scott. Ted Scott comes to Augusta. There's a guy in the caddy facility. His name is Steve Kling, Kling. Steve works here as a caddy. He's a scout every year. Ted Scott and Scottie Scheffler come to the Masters. There's Steve Kling showing them around. And Ted Scott's smart enough to stay with Steve Kling every year. He rooms with him. And so he probably gets all the intel ahead of time and probably got some knowledge of the golf course that some of these caddies may not have.
So Jack Nicklaus the six Masters titles that he won, how many did he have his favorite caddy on the bag from Augusta National?
Well, his favorite caddy, you know, Jack Nicklaus, the second caddy for him in 86.
Right, right.
First,
but before that.
First five was Willie Peterson.
That's right. That's what I read.
And Willie Ann was exactly the opposite of Jack. Jack was really pretty reserved when he played, but Willie was the kind of guy that if he had a towel over his shoulder on the bag, if Nicklaus had a long putt, he would take the towel and do it over his head like, you know, somebody's hitting a home run at Yankee Stadium or something like that. And he also was famous for stopping by the caddy facility and sticking his head in and saying, hey, I bet all you guys that Nicklaus is going to shoot 65 or better today. So he was a very outgoing personality, which drew a lot of attention to Nicklaus just because of his caddy. So Willie, to this day, is the only Augusta caddy that's ever been front and center on the cover of Sports Illustrated. 1972, when Nicklaus won, Willie Peterson's in the front with a cigarette in his mouth and holding up the number one like this, and Jack's in the background. So very, very much those guys had a lot of different personalities, a lot of different great skills. Some were great green readers. Some were great club pullers. Some could read players left and right. So they unified with a lot of the same skill set that made them famous.
Is Willie Pete Patterson, is he still around? Willie Pete Peterson?
No, he died in 1999. A lot of these guys, like Carl Jackson, 77, a lot of them are at least in their early 70s.
Sure.
So not as many around anymore. So that's unfortunate, but hopefully with something like I wrote and people are writing more about the caddies and what's going to happen with the Augusta Municipal Course, the patch, in the next couple of years, where a lot of those caddies learned how to play, that golf course is going to transform, and a lot of people will pay attention to the place they learned how to play, hopefully. So that'll be pretty cool.
Well, that's why your book, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National, Inside Stories from Golf's Greatest Stage, is just so important. That history, those stories are it's a treasure chest, really, of stories that anybody in golf or any history buff will love this book. Continued success, Ward Clayton. I could talk on and on. We need another hour just to, you know, hear more of your stories. But thanks so much for talking golf, and good luck with your book, The Legendary Caddies of Augusta National.
Well, since we can work together as authors, that's awesome. And same with you. You're just bestowing wisdom on people that love golf. That's cool.
Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Golf Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Golf Zone Range by David Ledbetter, with the latest golf technology in Little Ferry, New Jersey, and now in Westbury, Long Island. Learn golf faster. Visit www.golfzonerange, that's golf, Z-O-N, range.com. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality, experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf.